Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
For just a moment, think basketball, football, soccer, ballet, or gymnastics. Now consider how agile some athletes are. They just seem to pivot into position on a dime, as needed, with little or no warning. Similarly, your life pivots. Actually, with so many events, people, and unknowns, your ability to maneuver is a critical skill. Consequently, during challenge, disappointments, threats, bad news, conflict, there's good news. Your life pivots on principles that never change. So let's explore practical ideas and helpful action steps to pivot skillfully with little or no warning. Life is so uncertain. Oddly, things can shift in a split second. And interestingly, we also wonder about many things. Things like this. Will I still have a job next week? How will my kids find their way into this challenging world? I've done all I know to build into my community. I hope I don't get cancer someday. What can I do today to make a difference tomorrow? How do I persuade someone to make better choices? Will our economy hold? Will we enjoy freedom in years to come? I bet you could add to that list on how your life pivots. Incidentally, Jesus' life pivots often as a man on earth. Plus, he experienced troubles and challenges unexpectedly. Yet, just like an agile, skillful, adept athlete, Jesus knows how to pivot on a dime. So, how well do you pivot in the moment? You need practical ideas and helpful action steps to pivot skillfully. Also, you need hope. Consider this. Your hope is found in Christ's life. But what does that look like? Notably, here are some identifiers. First of all, his life flows out of God, and yours can too. Plus, he's solidly anchored in God's words and ways. Well, he wants this for you as well. Equally, he stays close to God. Did you know that God wants you close to himself? And even so, Jesus' life pivots in creative, strategic, and compassionate interactions with others. And you can do that as well. Subsequently, when you adopt the previous identifiers, you can pivot on a dime too. Let's review that list. Jesus' life flows out of God, yours can too. He's solidly anchored in God's words and ways, and that's what he wants for you every day. He stays close to God. God wants you close to himself. And Jesus' life pivots creatively, strategically, and compassionately in his interaction with others, and yours can as well. Let's take a peek through the portal. We're going to start with major points from John chapter 15, verses 4 through 10, that identify the solid platform under Christ's successful approach. Interestingly, his statements give a peek into successful pivots in unpredictable and surprising scenarios with little or no warning. Remarkably, Jesus invites you to peek through a portal into key action steps. Let's start with the first one. Abide in me. Now, that's your choice. And then he goes on and he says, and let me abide in you. That's actually also your choice. And by the way, he says, I already abide in the Father. And he says that that's his choice. All that is in verse 4. Next point is this. If you stay closely connected to me, he's calling himself the vine, then you, the branches, will bear much fruit. And that's in verse 5 of John 15. Now, let's talk about the antithesis. He says, apart from me, and again, he says, he's the vine, you can do nothing. Instead, you, the branches, will wither and dry up. Then you'll be gathered up to be thrown into the fire. That's in verse 6. Next, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and by the way, those are conditions to being a Christian, abiding in him and letting his words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 7. Now we need to bring out the side note. Asking and receiving whatever you wish rests solidly and exclusively on three motives for asking. First, whatever you ask is for God's glory. Second, your request will streamline into bearing much fruit. And third, these motives will provide proof that you are Christ's disciple. So be aware of your motives. Ask pensively. Alrighty, Jesus talks about relationships in this portion of scripture of John 15, verses 4 through 10. Let's explore the first one he mentions. Father loves me so much. That's basically what he's saying. Jesus has unwavering confidence in his intimate relationship with God. Then he says, basically, and I love you in the same way. So he passes this incredible relationship on to you. So what's the conclusion? Well, basically, he's saying, stay in my love from verse 9. So that's talking about how Father loves him and he's passing that on. But now he's saying something additional. The way to stay in my love is to keep my commandments from verse 10. In fact, it's like my relationship with God, he goes on to say. Jesus models how to stay in God's love by referencing his relationship with Father. Now, he goes on and he kind of says, here's how I do that. And he says, first of all, what I do is I glorify God in everything I say and do. In fact, I do nothing on my own, but only what he tells me to. Then Jesus goes on and he says, the second thing that he does is he bears much fruit for God's kingdom. This includes serving, healing, forgiving, interactions with others, miracles, and the cross. And then the third thing he says that he does, he says, my life proves I am God's ambassador and representative. Let's talk about the examples of how Jesus pivots. Jesus pivots continually during his life, yet he remains anchored to God's principles. It's much like a joystick that turns any direction as needed, yet stays firmly attached to the point of connection. Jesus maneuvers creatively and effectively, but never compromises his message or his character. We're going to look at a couple of examples of how Jesus pivots on a dime. The first example, when the Pharisees accuse Jesus of eating with sinners, Jesus answers brilliantly by declaring, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." That's mentioned in Matthew 9, verse 12, Mark 2, verse 17, and Luke 5, verse 31. Reasonably, Jesus could have added, "And FYI, you are not healthy. You need me, and you don't see it." But he didn't. So that's the first example. Now let's go on to the second example. When the Samaritan woman comes to the well to get water, Jesus asks her for a drink. John 4, verses 1 through 26 has that story. Strategically, Jesus pivots. Current issues of that time were Jew versus Samaritan and who has the right to the well. However, Jesus knows this dear woman needs help, so he skips the irrelevant culture talk. Instead, he presents the critical claim of his life. He says, "I am the Messiah." The third example of Jesus pivoting. A Canaanite, not Jewish, woman begs Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. Interestingly, Jesus immediately pivots. First, a test of this woman's faith. Jesus tells her he is sent to Israel. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Famously, she replies, "Even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table." Matthew 15, 21 through 28 is where that story is told. Exceedingly pleased, Jesus then says, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." That's the second pivot that Jesus makes. Suddenly, she becomes a model for everyone, this Canaanite woman. Okay, example number four. A Roman centurion approaches Jesus. Oddly, his disciples seem insulted. The centurion asks Jesus to heal his paralyzed son. So Jesus pivots from what he's doing. He rises to go with the centurion. Remarkably, the officer says something like, "I understand authority. I command soldiers effectively. You don't need to come. Just say the word. I trust you." Jesus, very impressed, announces, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Subsequently, Jesus pivots again. He stays put, yet he grants the officer's request. "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13 has that story. And then a fifth example. Pharisees continually badger Jesus. One time, Jesus says to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Blind guides." Strategically, he pivots from their haggling to the main issue. Then Jesus pivots again into a compassionate statement. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." From Matthew 23. Heartbroken, he pivots into God's never-ending love. There are many more examples of Jesus strategically, effectively, and creatively pivoting into God's grace and truth. Remarkably, he meets the need. He matches the wit. Rather than argue, he drives home principles of his word. Now let's go back to our scripture for today, John 15, verses 4 through 10. So, being in the vine means what? What have we discovered? Well, I think it's this. Just as Jesus maneuvers creatively, but never compromises his message or his character, you and I can do the same. Jesus became a man to show us how to pivot in life, how to handle conflict, difficult people, and tests of character. Subsequently, you can effectively follow Jesus' example in three ways. It's the three ways that Jesus showed that he is God's representative. Let's go into those again. The first one is to glorify God in everything you say and do. In fact, do nothing on your own, only what he tells you to do. That was the first thing. Glorifying God in everything. The second thing that Jesus mentioned is to bear much fruit for God's kingdom. All your serving, caring, forgiving, interactions, your good deeds, all of that is fruit. And then the third thing that he said, prove that you are God's ambassador and representative. Incidentally, you succeed if you remain in Christ. That's being in the vine. If you break a branch from a tomato plant, it will die. However, if it remains in the vine, it will prosper, thrive, and bear much fruit. Here are some application thoughts and questions for the content today. Number one. How often do you find yourself wondering, worried, defeated, or anxious? 2. Do you get into God's flow of life each day? Number 3. Are you solidly anchored in God's words and ways? Number 4. Equally, do you stay close to God? 5. Do you pivot in creative, strategic, and compassionate ways with others? Number 6, what blocks your progress to effectively pivot to help others? 7, are you consistently abiding in the vine since you're a branch? 8, as you pivot, do you keep your stationary point fixed to God's love? 9, how effective are you? And here are these three points again. First of all, to glorify God in everything you say and do. Second, to bear much fruit for God's kingdom. And third, to prove that you are God's ambassador and representative. I invite you, follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org. Your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.